So I was looking at this site selection report from earlier this month, February 2026.
Okay.
And there's a specific data point in there that, I mean, it honestly just stopped me in my tracks. It wasn't about interest rates, not about labor shortages. It was about a wait time.
Let me guess. The interconnection queue.
Exactly.
Yeah.
The report described this scenario in Northern Virginia, which is, traditionally the internet capital of the world.
Right.
A developer secured the land, the financing, all the permits, and then they were told by the utility that the timeline to actually energize the site to get the power they needed for a data center,
Was what?
12 years.
12 years? Wow. I mean, that is effectively three full business cycles in the tech world.
Right. If you're building for AI or advanced manufacturing, a 12-year delay means you're not just late to the party.
No, you're showing up after the building's been demolished.
And that right there brings us to what we're unpacking today. The sources are calling it the Powerwall.
It's a fitting term. We're seeing national grids all across the U.S. hitting this hard physical limit. Demand is just aggressively outstripping the capacity to deliver.
And just to be clear, we aren't talking about a few hot summers causing some brownouts.
No, this is different.
We're talking about a systemic inability to connect new industrial load. So the mission for this deep dive is to look at why speed to power, the literal velocity at which a company can plug into the grid,
Right.
has completely replaced tax incentives and cheap labor as the main driver of industrial real estate in 2026.
It really is the new gold rush. And we've got the Energy Outlook 2026 report, some heavy data from the EIA, and a very specific contrasting case study.
From where?
Sandoval County, New Mexico. It seems like they're running a different playbook entirely.
Okay, so before we get to the solution, let's really diagnose this shift. For the last, what, 40 or 50 years, if I'm a site selector for a massive factory, I'm looking for the big three.
Location, labor, logistics.
Yes.
Right. You needed highway access, you needed a skilled workforce nearby, say a 30-minute drive, and you needed reasonable land costs if you had those things.
Power was just assumed.
It was a commodity. You just, flip the switch, the lights come on, and you pay the bill at the end of the month.
But looking at this Energy Outlook 2026 analysis, that hierarchy has been completely
Oh,
inverted.
completely.
They surveyed senior industrial leaders, and 65% of them, 65% identified grid access as the single greatest barrier to
Yeah.
expansion.
Not labor, not taxes.
Grid access.
That is a massive signal. And to understand the why, you really have to look at the nature of the demand. We
What?
aren't just building warehouses with LED lights anymore.
Right.
We're seeing two massive drivers just colliding. First, and this is the obvious one, is the compute explosion from artificial intelligence.
And I want to be specific here because AI gets thrown around so much.
Good point.
We're not talking about running a chatbot on a phone. We're talking about training clusters that require hundreds of megawatts.
Exactly. 5 years ago, a large industrial request might have been 10, maybe 20 megawatts. Today, utilities are receiving interconnection requests for 500 megawatts,
500.
or even a gigawatt at a single site. That's the output of a nuclear reactor, but for one customer.
And the grid architecture simply was not built for that kind of concentrated load.
It wasn't. And then, parallel to that, you have the electrification of the industrial base itself. We're moving away from combustion for heating, for all sorts of processes.
So you have a grid built for the mid-20th century trying to support the density of the mid-21st.
Which leads us right to this new definition of speed to power.
It really seems like the metric has shifted from, how much does the power cost to can I get the power at all?
Precisely. In 2026, the cost per kilowatt hour is secondary to availability.
Right.
If I can offer you power at, say, 4 cents a kilowatt hour, but you have to wait a decade, or 8 cents a kilowatt hour, but you can start tomorrow, you take the 8 cents every time, because the cost of not producing is infinite.
That brings us to the gridlock crisis. The numbers from the U.S. Energy Information Administration. They're projecting electricity demand hitting over 4,200 billion kilowatt hours this year.
A huge number.
But the bottleneck isn't necessarily generation, is it? It's the queue.
It is the queue and specifically the transmission planning. You mentioned Northern Virginia, that's PJM territory. We're seeing similar issues in Texas with ERCOT.
These were the business-friendly markets.
Exactly. But now you have a situation where the physical infrastructure, the transformers, the substations, the high voltage lines, they just cannot be built fast enough to match the requests.
So I want to drill down on that 12-year figure. Why does it take that long? Is it just red tape?
It's a combination. It's permitting complexity, for sure, but it's also supply chain shortages for high-voltage equipment. Lead times for large transformers are pushing 3 to 4 years now.
Wow.
And then there's just the sheer volume of study requests. Every time a new project applies to Connect, the utility has to run a massive study to see how it affects the grid.
The physics of the whole system.
Right. And when you have thousands of applications, the engineering modeling alone creates a backlog for years.
So this creates what the report calls the speed-to-power paradox.
Mm-hmm.
You might find a plot of land in a prime location that looks like a bargain, but if it's in a congested queue...
That asset is actually a liability. It's a trap for the unwary. You tie up all your capital and land that you can't monetize.
Let's talk about the stakes here, because we have this research from ABB, their 2026 industrial report, on the cost of unplanned downtime.
Right.
They peg the cost for manufacturers at somewhere between $260,000 and $500,000 per hour.
And that's the average.
Right. But play devil's advocate for me. $500,000 an hour, that sounds high. Is that just lost revenue?
It's actually a pretty conservative estimate for heavy industry. Think about a semiconductor fab plant or a pharmaceutical line. If the power flickers, I'm not even talking a full blackout, just a tiny frequency deviation, you might have to scrap an entire batch of wafers.
Millions of dollars of material.
Gone. Instantly. Plus the time to recalibrate all the machines.
It's not just flipping a switch back on.
Not at all. You have restart procedures, safety checks, you've got union overtime to catch up, supply chain penalties for missing your delivery windows. For the top 7% of large enterprises, ABB's data shows that cost exceeds $1 million an hour.
So reliability isn't just a nice to have. It is mathematically tied to your ROI. If your grid is shaky, your whole business model is basically broken.
Which puts site selectors in a very, very difficult position. They're looking at the map of the U.S., and the traditional safe havens are all flashing red.
But not everywhere. The sources highlight this pivot to regions that saw this coming, and specifically, they point to Sandoval County, New Mexico.
Yeah, this is a fascinating case study in, let's call it contrarian infrastructure planning. While all the major hubs were reacting to congestion.
Putting out fires.
Exactly. Sandoval County, the utility provider, PNM, they were executing a strategy of proactive modernization.
Proactive is a nice buzzword, but usually infrastructure is reactive, right?
Yeah.
You build the road after the traffic gets bad. What did they actually do differently?
They decoupled the infrastructure build from the immediate demand. They built ahead of the curve. The headline number here is the industrial revenue bonds authorized back in July 2025. We're talking about $497 million.
Almost $500 million. For a single county, that is a massive authorization.
It's huge. And it was specifically for the Diamond Tail Solar and Storage Project. Now, we really need to unpack the storage part of that name.
Right.
Because that's where the industrial value proposition is.
Okay, because solar by itself is intermittent. As a factory manager, I can't run a third shift if I'm just relying on panels that turn off at sunset.
Exactly. That's the classic duck curve problem. Solar overgenerates at noon, and then it disappears at 6 p.m. right when demand is peaking.
So what's the storage part?
The Diamond Tail project includes a massive battery electric storage system, a BAS. This allows them to shift that load. They capture all the excess solar during the day.
And then deploy it when they need it.
And deploy it as firm capacity when industry needs it.
Firm capacity, that is the key term.
It is the only term that matters to a manufacturer. It means the power is dispatchable. It's reliable. It turns a variable renewable resource into something that's equivalent to baseload power.
So without the battery, it's just green energy. With the battery, it's industrial infrastructure.
You got it.
But generation is only half the battle. You still have to move the electrons. The notes mention the Western Spirit Pajarito line.
Yes. So this is a high-capacity transmission line. It provides over 2,300 megawatts of transfer capability into that Albuquerque-Sandoval corridor.
And just for perspective, 2,300 megawatts is enough to power a significant portion of a state.
Oh, absolutely.
So unlike Virginia, where the pipes are full, Sandoval basically has a massive empty pipe just ready to be filled.
That is the overbuild strategy.
But isn't that risky? I mean, from an economic standpoint, building 2,300 megawatts capacity before you have the customers lined up, if the demand doesn't show up...
You have a stranded asset.
Right.
That is the traditional fear. But in 2026, with the electrification trends we've been talking about, the risk of not having the capacity is actually higher than the risk of overbuilding.
Yeah.
The demand is there. It's just looking for a home. By overbuilding the Western Spirit line, they have effectively eliminated the queue.
So while other regions are telling developers, take a ticket and wait 12 years, this region is saying, plug in now.
Correct. They've converted time, that 12-year wait, into immediate availability. And that is a massive competitive moat.
There's another layer here, too, beyond just the steel and wires. The modernization plan PNM launched in November 2025 emphasizes technology, specifically advanced metering infrastructure, or AMI.
Right. And we need to move past the idea of this just being a smart meter for your house so you get an accurate bill.
Okay.
In an industrial context, AMI is all about grid visibility.
How so?
Historically, the grid was a dumb one-way system. Power went down the line. And if a fuse blew or a transformer overheated, the utility often didn't know until a customer called to complain about an outage.
Which is way too late if you're the one losing $1 million an hour.
Exactly. AMI deploys smart sensors all across the network that provide real-time telemetry. It allows for predictive maintenance. The system can detect a voltage irregularity or a heat signature on a piece of equipment before it fails.
So it's risk mitigation.
Yeah.
You fix the component during a scheduled maintenance window instead of suffering a catastrophic, unplanned outage.
It changes the utility from a repair service into a reliability partner.
Mm-hmm.
And for a high-tech manufacturer, that visibility is part of the product they're buying.
Speaking of visibility, I want to touch on the heat map. The sources say New Mexico is using a SURC-mandated heat map for capacity.
This is a crucial piece of the transparency puzzle. For decades, utility capacity data was treated like a state secret.
A black box.
A total black box. If you wanted to know if a substation had room, you had to enter this long, opaque application process.
Which makes allocating capital a guessing game.
And capital hates uncertainty. The heat map changes all that. It allows site selectors to literally look at a map of the grid and see, in real time, where the capacity exists. Green means go, red means stop.
It sounds so simple, but in this industry, that's revolutionary. It's democratizing the data.
It is. It removes the information asymmetry between the utility and the developer. If I'm a CEO, I can look at that map and say, we are building in Sandoval because I can see the 300 megawatts available right there on the screen.
You don't have to trust a promise.
You can verify the data yourself.
So, okay, let's pull this all together. We have the Powerwall crisis in traditional markets. We have the staggering cost of downtime making reliability non-negotiable.
Mm.
And we have this blueprint for a solution, which involves bold financing, firm capacity with storage, and radical transparency.
That pretty much sums it up.
What does this mean for the future of the American industrial landscape?
I think it means we are truly entering the electric economy. The map of economic power in the United States is being redrawn, but not by political borders or tax districts.
It's being redrawn by the physics of the grid.
That's it. So the old Rust Belt or Sun Belt distinctions, they matter less than the capacity belt.
The capacity belt. I like that.
Exactly. The primary input for economic growth now is reliable, high-capacity electricity. The questions in the boardroom have totally shifted. It used to be, where can we find workers?
Right.
Now, the first, second, and third question is, where is the power?
And if a region can't answer that question clearly and quickly, they are effectively off the list.
They are. You can offer all the tax breaks in the world, but if you can't energize the facility, that tax break is worth zero.
It really forces a complete rethink of what prime real estate even means.
It does. And I'll leave you with this thought to mull over. In a world that's going to be driven by AI and electrified manufacturing, the most valuable land, it isn't the plot with the best view of the skyline.
No.
It's the land where the electrons are already flowing.
That is the new reality. If you're a business leader and you aren't obsessing over speed to power, you might be planning for a world that has already ceased to exist.
I think that's the takeaway. The plug is now just as important as the product.
Fascinating stuff. It turns out the most exciting thing in business right now is the boring infrastructure we always used to ignore. Thanks for diving in with us, and we'll see you on the next one.